Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in for Greg Lancaster here in the extra hour.
Are you sure?
I am sure. I think I'm John. Joining me today in the extra hour is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
Steve Kalaszewski.
Good day.
And Chris Hamilton.
Hello.
Hello.
There he is.
There
oh, my goodness.
He is.
He woke up.
He's alive.
How
he's
are
alive.
You, sir? How are you?
My goodness, if you missed the first hour, we're talking about God, the original Transformer. He can do it. He can change you. And we talked about technology, the Bible app, 100 million Bibles downloaded on your iPhone, iPad, every digital device. That's their goal. July the 10th. You can download it now. Listen, I know a good app you can download. VFN Radio. Well, thanks for joining us here in the extra hour. We were just wrapped up the first hour. We're talking about God, the original Transformer. Listen, if you missed it, you want to be sure that you catch it, because so many times we can be defeated thinking that we have to do this changing ourselves. But listen, God didn't save you so that you have to, you know, do all this stuff on your own as if you could. If he's done the saving, he can do the cleaning, he can do the transforming, he can and will do it all. Rest in him, because he's got your back. He's got your back. But we want to talk about, in the original intent, our awesome Constitution. You know, I love this country. You know, I'm setting up my office, and I got surprised when you come to my office, Pat.
You have an office?
I have an office.
Oh, my goodness.
I have an office in the home there. And I'm putting in this nice flag that I have, and I've got... When I set this thing up, American flag.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, really nice, though. It's, you know, what do you call those things?
A case.
A case. Really nice.
Folded up.
Actually, it was my dad's.
Oh, okay.
And I have it in a nice, beautiful case, but I just love this country. We're getting ready, this July 4th, celebrating Independence Day right around the corner. I love this time, and it's always time to remember. When you see everything happening around the world, and you see all these countries... And all this strife and all this stuff that's happening, you say, man, we are blessed. We are blessed to live in this nation. And we're seeing so many things right now in this country that is alarming. It's makes you say, my goodness, what is happening? And we are in danger, like in no other generation before now, of losing, believe it or not, key components, if you will, of our Constitution. It is being attacked on every single side, and it's amazing what can happen in one generation if we don't stay informed, plugged in, and treasure the things that we do have. I don't like that statement when people say you don't know what you have until you lose it. I mean, that's silly. Why don't you know what you have? Why do you have to lose something before you know what you have? I don't understand that.
Right.
I don't understand that statement. Because if I said this once, I said it a lot, and really try to implement it in my life as much as I can, that Proverbs tells us that a wise man, a wise woman gives thought to their ways and just thinks. I mean, there's time for meditative thinking and praying about life and about what we're doing and what's going on. You can't be so busy that you're not thinking about your neighbor, your nation, your community, your involvement, what role God wants you to play. And I think about a great president that we've had in our nation. We've had a lot of good ones. We have had some not good ones. We've had some good ones. And I want you to listen to President Ronald Reagan as he shares and delivers just a brief word on the Constitution. Listen up.
What we in America take for granted is something that's rare in history and all too remarkable on this globe, the Earth. The United States is the world's oldest democratic government. And at my age, when I tell you something is the oldest in the world, you can take my word for it. I'm probably talking from personal experience. And it's not just that our government is the oldest of its kind, but that it's based on the world's most revolutionary political idea. You can see that concept in the very first line of our Constitution. And it begins with three simple words. We, the people. In other countries, in their constitutions, they all have constitutions, and I've read a great many of them, those other ones. And the difference is so small, but it's found in those three words, because their constitutions are documents by the governments telling the people what they can do. And in our country, our constitution is by the people, and it tells the government what it can do. And only those things listed in the Constitution and nothing else can government do. So in America, it is the people who are in charge. And one day you will be those people.
In America, it is the people who are in charge.
Mm. Wow.
It's the people. It's not that other countries don't have a constitution. They have constitutions. But like he said, their constitutions are filled with what the government can do for the people, as opposed to what the people tell the government.
That's right.
What I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about this is that when a people become, what's the word here? When the people come, I guess, lazy or not
complacent.
Involved, complacent. When they become complacent and they don't get involved in the process, it's like, okay, government, just here you go. Do everything for me. Do everything for me. I don't have to be involved. That's not a good recipe. And mm-hmm. right now what you're seeing is heavy, heavy government involvement.
Mm-hmm.
And people would love to see that more. And there's a notion, there's an ideology out there that the government knows best. They want to tell you what to do with your children, how to educate them, all this type of stuff. And it's like, no. We have a constitution that is by the people and for the people. And it's what's really kept this country together, to think that every 4 to 8 years, well, every 4 years, we have an election for the president of the United States. And if he gets reelected, then there's a transition that occurs every reelected. There's a transition that occurs, you know, in the eighth year, because he served two terms. But it's always amazing to see, and we can take this for granted in America, that we have such a smooth transition of government.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this doesn't happen mm-hmm. in other countries. You know, before the election, 9 months to a year, I mean, it is all out, you know, divided, and they're going at it, and it can get ugly at times.
Mm-hmm.
And it trickles down to every fiber in you know, every person in the country, because at that time, many people are just involved and engaged in choosing our next leader. But it's amazing that once the president is elected, I mean, a lot of that just goes to the wayside. And we say, that is our president. That the people have spoken, that is our president. And as believers, we're to pray for all of our leaders, that it may go well with us. But you have in other countries, when leaders get elected, it means nothing. They want to overthrow, and they want to take it down, and it's, you know, all these chaotic things that happen. And one of the things that we want to do in VFN Radio is just really remember the Constitution. Well, it took us some time to get updated and relearn and learn some things. We encourage you to be a part of this journey with us. Be a part of this journey with us. You're going to be hearing us talk more and more about the Constitution, about our founding documents, our founding fathers, the intention. And I'm telling you that if we can get this, if we can reclaim this, we may have a chance here. We may have a chance of preserving this great nation. But I'm telling you, it's going to take all of us. It's going to take all of us. And everywhere that I have been going, I've been having conversations and these interactions with people. We talked about yesterday, if you missed this, the title of yesterday's segment is called Love on a Senior Citizen Today. But when you talk to seniors today, I mean, I see such great sadness when I talk to them and they mention the state of our country. But I mean, it really is alarming when you talk to them, because they remember a country that was not like what we're seeing today.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to remember that. When you hear the President of the United States, Ronald Reagan, delivering that address, I mean, he was holding the bar. He was setting it, saying it the way it was. Mm-hmm. And we need more of us that know the Constitution to speak about the Constitution and really to help educate and share this knowledge with others. Because if you don't know, you don't know.
Yeah, right.
You don't know. But we have a great nation.
Mm-hmm.
July the 4th is coming, Independence Day. We want to remember. We want to remember the freedoms why mm-hmm. we have this great nation.
That's right.
And don't make it this year just about hot dogs and hamburgers
fireworks.
And fireworks.
Yeah.
But really talk to your children, talk to your family about it, talk to your neighbors, get on out there, put out your flag, and get everybody involved.
Mm-hmm.
Get everybody involved. Because we have a nation that has been in the past a nation that's tried its very best to honor God. And now we've seen such a dishonoring of the last, you know, decades of the Lord. But this country has sent out so many missionaries, more missionaries than any country has ever sent out.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to be able to be the light of the world, not because America is just great, it's because we've honored God, because we've put God at the forefront. And we need revival in this country. We need a great awakening, and we're believing and praying for this great awakening. It's going on in South Africa right now. And listen, you can catch this, you know, you catch VFN Radio in a 24-hour loop, but we have also added the third hour, the great awakening. Don't forget that. This mm-hmm. is every single day now happening in South Africa, Tungar. and the glory of God is happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People are being touched. People are being saved. And listen, we want the wave to come over. Come on. Come
Amen.
On over
yeah.
to the United States. We want more Lord. We want it. We want it. And we're believing for it. And we're praying for it. And let's cry out to God and say, God, save America. Save America. Save us. Help us to be that beacon of light that shines the light of the gospel all around the world.
Mm.
I mean, we found out that when the Jews were expelled, who knew that they gave money to Christopher Columbus to find them a place?
Mm-hmm.
Or that the Puritans came on over looking for a place where they can worship.
Mm-hmm.
This is what America was founded on, a place where people can seek God. We want to get back. We want to get back to the original intent so that we can have a great nation that glorifies the Lord and continue to be the light. You know, we're talking about technology in the first hour, and we talked about how rapidly it is advancing, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's in the last 5 years, we've seen huge advancements. But right now, they're saying, many futurists, if you will, people that invent things and are really involved in technology, are saying that really over the next 5 to 7 years, we're going to see such a quantum leap forward in technology that's not only going to revolutionize and change everything that we do in our daily lives, it's going to change the economies
mm-hmm. wow.
of the world.
Yeah.
And one of the things that's going to do that, based upon what they're saying, and you could just look at the technology and say, I can so see that, is the 3D printing. 3D printing that's now available. Guys, do you know? I mean, we talked about this on the radio several times where in New York, I believe it was in Cornell University, that they actually printed a collagen ear,
mm-hmm.
an ear. They duplicated a 3D, three-dimensional ear.
Mm-hmm.
They're printing skin. Okay, this has been done already. But do you know that shortly you'll be able to go to any Staples in America and purchase a three-dimensional printer? Now, it's $1,200, actually $1,300, $1,299. I love how they put that $99 in there. I love that $99. It's $1,299, but it's $1,300, and it's plug and play, works right out of the box, no user training required, and it's a printer that will print a three-dimensional object out of plastic. You know what that means? That's going to change everything. I want you to listen to this segment here on CNN Money. We're going to come back and talk about this more But this is very interesting.
Welcome to South by Southwest, where the hot new technology isn't just an app on your smartphone. It's moving beyond the smartphone to something physical, something real, something you can put your hands on. It's all part of something they're calling the Makers Movement. So tell me what we're doing over here.
So what we're doing is we're looking at our 123D Creature iPad app. And this lets you basically sketch out a creature, texture him, sculpt him, anything you want. We're providing the tools to create that 3D model that you eventually fabricate and make real.
So these are all things that you created on that app and you were able to print out here.
That's right.
What you're listening to is they're creating an app. It's an app on an iPad. You're creating it by drawing it on a screen. And then they actually print that three-dimensional object that was created on the screen out of some sort of plastic. Listen.
Right, yeah.
This all came from an app.
Yeah, and it's very easy. You saw how easy it is to do it.
So this is a 3D printed record. And basically what I've done here is I wrote a program that lets you take any piece of digital music and you can just convert it straight into a 3D model of a record. And you can just print it right out in a 3D printer and play it on a turntable.
This plays actual music.
Yeah. Do you want to hear it?
I definitely want to hear it. That's good. I like this. Is this going to make a more efficient economy if we're able to print out things at home, build things on our own, as opposed to go out in stores and purchase them?
Yeah, I mean, when you're a consumer, you're buying something that's getting made far away, getting put on a boat, then a truck or a train, and then being kept warm in a store. When you can make things yourself, you need them, you make it. We're in a great time where the software and the hardware all just connects up to make this great like 3D ecosystem so that you can make things simpler than ever before.
There's a pretty good volume to it. We had a program called 123D Design that we modeled it in, and everybody walked away with something that looks similar to this, but everybody's had their own unique feel to it. I think the maker movement really comes from that need and the desire to really own the objects around you. Is this wanting to be back and be personal with everything that surrounds your life.
Lori Siegel, Scene and Money, Austin, Texas.
This is incredible. This is something that now is coming to the market, and now the average person, right now they're making something that you can buy at Staples for $1,300. Listen, some of these things cost thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars, and to make something now that the average everyday consumer could use is absolutely remarkable. WFTV.com is sharing, this is really interesting, they're saying that these three-dimensional printers are popping up everywhere from desks of hobbyists to Air Force drone research centers. Now, these machines they're speaking of are generally the size of a microwave oven and are costing anywhere from $400 to more than $500,000.
Sure.
They extrude layer upon layer of plastics or other materials, including metal, to create a 3D object with moving parts. I mean, people are making things like iPad stands, guitar stands, guitars, jewelry. Some are even making guns. But experts warn that this cool innovation could soon turn controversial. Because, I mean, they're eliminating all sorts of copyright infringement.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of the same thing that happened with technology when they created the iPhone and the original iPod, is that when they made the MP3 music file, they compressed into a file, they were able to change the whole music industry completely. It's right. Just changed overnight.
Mm-hmm.
And
That's when Napster was so controversial back then.
Well, yeah, they were taking stuff that wasn't, right for them to take. And what you're seeing now, the potential for this, that means airplane mechanics could print a replacement part on the runway. Something's broken. We don't need a call for shipment. We don't need to order that part. The mechanics can print the part on the runway. A dishwasher repairman can make a new gasket in his service truck. A surgeon could print a knee implant custom designed to fit the patient.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're looking at it. They're looking about how soldiers who are in remote places like Afghanistan that are running out of ammunition, instead of risking bringing a helicopter in an ambush to supply them with more ammunition, they could set up a 3D printing machine. And the government has already been looking at this. The Obama administration has set up $30 million to pilot a program on how to use 3D printing to build weapon parts. And the government's already doing this, according to WFTV.com 9. They're doing this. So the philosophy or the mindset is, why bring in a helicopter to risk lives when we can set up this printing machine in the middle of this gunfight, this war zone, and print ammo, make ammo on the spot.
Wow.
Technology is changing. Wow. That means that if something's broken in your home and you have one of these 3D printers, you just kind of get the blueprint, you print it up, you print the part, and you put it in right there in your home. Do you know how many businesses will be affected by this?
Oh yeah, that would change the whole process.
There'll be warehouses that'll be completely empty.
Yeah.
There's in the economy, there's a whole parts industry. That's their job. They manufacture parts. Well, when you can print a part in your office at home or in your workshop in the back, that's a serious, serious situation. There's a company that tracks the industry, and they said that sales are projected to jump from about $1.7 billion, this was in 2011, to $3.7 billion in 2015. I mean, what you're looking at is unbelievable. There's two guys that started this was called the Cube. It's going to be sold at Staples now. But they started out, they're from MIT, and they first tried to pitch this as a toy maker. And they were trying to raise some funds, and they tried to, you know, get some money to develop this thing. And they sought $30,000 to fund their project of making this device. Well, they wound up collecting $2.3 million from 26,000 investors, and they were making these 3D pens as a result of it. This is serious.
Yeah.
This is serious. And just because, you know, we're able to make things like this, I don't know if we necessarily should. I think we might have talked about this on different radio already.
Yeah, right.
But it you're opening up a whole can of worms with this. And I'm telling you, technology is going to be changing, and what we want to do is use technology for God's purposes and to do the right thing with it. You know, technology is really, it's amoral, neither good nor bad. It just depends on the person behind using the technology. And we want to make sure that whatever technology we're using it all for the glory of God. You know, the things that can be used to do wonderful, great things in medicine and for God can also be used to do horrible things. Listen, we are living in a technological, advancing world that is moving ever, ever so rapidly. We need to hear God on this. We need to hear God on how we need to incorporate, or at one point say, I need to get off of this cyberspace thing that's moving, you know, nine to nothing, and look at other things to do. Because guess what? We can have so much technology that's doing everything for us that we're not involved in the process anymore, and there's no critical thinking at all. But you know what? We had learned and heard about the law of use. Pat Robinson shared about that. And the whole idea about the law of use and some principles in the kingdom is that if you don't use it, you lose it. If you don't use it, you lose it.
That's right.
And if you don't use your mind, if you don't use your brain, if you don't intentionally think and process and be involved in everyday activities and figuring things out, you're not going to be able to do that. You're not going to be able to do that. That's an interesting thought. I want to encourage you, for you have children in the home, don't tell them how to do everything. Make them figure it out.
Yeah.
Tell them, it takes an hour. Make them figure it out, because that's a learning process, being engaged. And my concern is that, listen, we've got everything that, we got alarms that ring, we have all kind of computer software, we've got everything that's so technologically advanced, and no one has to think about doing anything if we're not using the brain that God gave us and blessed us with. Listen, we're not even using it to its potential to begin with now.
Mm-hmm.
How much more we're not going to use it when technology is literally doing everything.
Yeah.
We want to be careful. We want to be prayerful. Most of all, we want to incorporate God into everything we do. And we want to hear him as to what we're going to do as this technology advances.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the fairest of them all? This is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller, and here's author, speaker, and mother of three, Tracy Bianchi, suggesting that you may need to replace that mirror on the wall.
One of the statements I hear when people start talking about vocation and profession or hobbies, I'll often hear women say, well, I'm just a mom. Mm. And I invite them to drop that qualifier. There is no such thing as, right, quote, just a, yeah, mom. You are a mom, and you are a woman who is raising these children, and you're doing the best with the blessings you've been given. But I also invite women to make a list of the things that they are good at, that they are passionate about, that have nothing to do with their children.
You're more than just a mom, so cultivate those passions and giftings that you have, because your mirror is much bigger than you might think. You can hear more from Tracy Bianchi today at focusonthefamily.com/radio.
We're going to be releasing this week on VFN TV, This Generation. Go to VFN TV. Go to VFNTV.com. This is VFN Radio you're listening to. Go to VFNTV.com and go to VFN TV in your menu, and you'll see a prophetic teaching about this generation. It's called This Generation. And it's time for us to wake up and respond. And it's going to encourage you, because it's going to give you a perspective that if not, the things that we won't give up now, God will have taken away from us. Mm-hmm. He'll look, and there's raiders coming in as we speak, trying to raid the coffers, the government, the taxes, the freedoms, the Constitution, all these different things. But understand that God is allowing that. He's not doing it. He's allowing it to take place. It's his permissive will because of the choices that we've made. And he's intentionally allowing it. It's intentional. There's always somebody that wants to raid you. Mm-hmm. But he's keeping them back. And then, you know, if we don't respond, it just escalates and gets worse in regards to that. Even being sold as a slave to your enemy. You know, slavery didn't start in America. Slavery's been around since day one. Even, mm-hmm, Jesus said, you know, as Christians, you know, slaves obey your masters as unto, right, the Lord. If you can get your freedom, get your freedom. So in the context of that, it was just an everyday conversation then. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be sold to my enemy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't want to be sold to my enemy, but I can't be in rebellion to God and think that the end's going to be good. You know, and it may happen on an individual basis. You got to listen to this. Listen to it. It's called This Generation. And what it is that you have a pagan generation. But it's not unusual for a generation who has not yet received or didn't receive the gospel being transferred to their generation to be paganistic. But there's hope. There is hope. And God has a way to do that. Go to VFNTV.com and choose VFN TV on the menu and look for This Generation and begin to listen to it now and share it with your friends. It's a prophetic word for this day and this time.
Wow, at VFN Radio, we are looking for greater ways for you to be able to connect anywhere you go. We know that you can listen to VFN Radio on the go through the app, but now we also have the podcast. It's a great way for you to be able to automatically get all the segments totally downloaded to your digital device, no matter where you're at. You can go to VFNTV.com and click podcast, and you'll configure it and set it up so that no matter where you're at, you automatically have all of the highlights automatically downloaded on your digital device. VFNTV.com, click podcasts. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today in studio is Pat, Steve, and Chris. We're talking about 3D printing, technology advancing. We got to hear God on it. Because we need God in everything we do. We need God. Amen. But let me tell you, things are changing. Things are changing, and you want to be able to, in all the change that is occurring, you want to make sure that you are listening to what God is saying in the midst of the change, and that you are on the right side of change, because you could be on the wrong side. Mm. You want to be on the right side of change. But Steve, I know that you're talking about the will of God. I mean, yeah. Talk to us about this, because yeah. I know that it's been stirring in your heart.
Yeah, for a while now, God's been speaking to me about just his will. and just that difference between what we used to seek after. And then there was that, like you're talking about earlier, it's just like there's that moment of definition and that change where we want to know God's will. You know, and you look at, and he talks about it in 1 Peter. And he says in 1 Peter chapter 4, he says, "Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourself also with the same attitude. Because he who suffered in his body is done with sin. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God." And I've just been chewing on that for the last couple days. And then this morning...
you were chewing on that?
I've been chewing on that. And it's just like, I mean, you just think about the fact of our whole life before Christ, it was consumed with our own desires. Mm-hmm. But when you compare that with the things of Christ, they're just evil, earthly desires. Mm. But we never look at it that way until we see the things of Christ. Just like when Saul was Saul, he was persecuting the church. But then there was that defining moment when he encountered Christ and he became Saul, that he just made a 180 change and he just thought nothing about going back to the life that he lived. And then this morning, and it's just like I said, God's been just really speaking to me about his will, and just been drawing me about his will. So then he got my attention in 1 John 5. And it says in 1 John 5 verse 14, he says, "This is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us."
Mm-hmm.
"And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him." And I, like I said, that word will has just been coming at me, and God just began speaking to me. It's just like, how do you know to search for something? I mean, like almost on a continual basis, I'll lose my phone, I'll lose my keys, I'll lose my wallet. I'll leave the house, I'll come back, and I'm missing one of the three.
Really?
But it's just like, but you don't know to search for something unless there's two things. Unless you know it's important, or unless you know you don't have it. If something's not important to you, you're not going to take the time to search it out. If you think you have it, then why are you going to search for it until you are brought to the situation or the awareness that you don't have it?
Mm-hmm.
But God says in Proverbs 25, he says, "It is the glory of God to conceal a matter." To search it out, to search out a matter is the glory of the kings. And God wants us to search out his will. But the thing is, though, and it's just like so often that we're praying for things. But just like he says, it's just like if we ask him for something that's according to his will, he hears us. Mm. So if we're asking for something that's not God's will, well, why is he going to give it to us?
Exactly.
Because so often that you can like, "God, I want this. It's just like, so you want this for yourself. So how is this going to benefit my plan? How is this going to benefit others? And it's just like, we can't just ask frivolously just because we have the ability to ask for something. It's just like, no, God, what is your will in this situation? Mm-hmm. And then it goes back to what you're saying as far as transformation. It's just like, we can't just do what we want. We have to go after what God wants. Because what we want is not always what we need.
If we wanted to go well with us. I mean, you could go after what you want.
But it's not going to end well.
Yeah, the question is it working? Is it working for you?
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
And it just really... Like I said, God's just drawn me to just like search out his will, because it's just like so often we can just sit in his presence and say, "God, okay, speak to me. I want to encounter." But then there's that proactive search of just like God went after us when Christ left his eternal. I mean, that blows my mind to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
He was in heaven in all the glory and all the heavenlies and the spiritual and the angels and the glory of God. And then he came to take upon the flesh. He took on a body.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, how much more of an active action, an active seeking, searching, just to be with us. And it's just like, we have to take that same active searching. God, I want to search out your will. Because I know that you have a will for me. He says in Jeremiah 29, he says, "I know I have," he says, "many are the plans I have for you." He says that, you know,
plans to prosper you, not to harm you, but plans to give you hope in the future.
Thank you. And he says, you will find me when you search me with all of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
All of your heart. It's just like, you think about those, I mean, I think about those many moments when it's just like, you get out to the car and all of a sudden you realize you don't have your phone.
Yeah.
And it's just like, mm-hmm. I'll search the kitchen, I'll search underneath the couches. I wasn't even sitting on the couch, but I'll search underneath the couch. And it's just like, that's your wallet. That's your phone.
Mm-hmm.
How are you searching out the will of God?
Yeah.
How are you going after God? Are you taking that proactive search of just like, you know, are you digging? And I think about it, you know, Jesus talks about that because on that day, our life is going to, you know, will it stand the fire? Because the hay, the stubble, that's all going to burn up.
Yeah.
But, mm-hmm. Good.
Many people today are just on a default setting. They're on the default setting thing, and they're just on cruise control on their way to God, and they'll just bump into his will or differently, God will conform to their will.
Mm-hmm.
They already have a plan.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. I mean, if we've been talking about humility and pride here lately, but if you're not humble, there's no need to seek God's will because you already have your will.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes some folks' prayer is all about God trying to get God to do what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't work.
Yeah.
And then they become frustrated with God because they say that they're praying and I'm praying and God's just not answering me and where's God? Well, God's not going to answer a foolish prayer.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a child saying, my parents don't ever give me any money. They don't give me any money. I've been asking them for money. All I want is $5. It's like, dude, you're 3 years old. If I give you $5, you're going to keep gonna buy 10,000 pieces of gum. And you know, you don't even know what to do with it. You know, oftentimes, you know, it's not that God doesn't want to answer certain prayers. It's the fact that God knows that if he answered them, we couldn't handle it.
Right. He doesn't want to lose us.
So many people will get so lost in the blessing, they get so lost in what God wants to do that they can't stand to be blessed.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about that. Can you stand to be blessed?
Yeah.
I want God to do this and I want God to do that. I want God. That may be God's will for you in the future, but it's certainly not God's will for you today.
Mm-hmm.
Because if God did it, you'd be gone. And God doesn't want to lose you. It's not about getting you things, but it's about you having God.
Mm-hmm.
If you have God, you've got everything. But what you're saying is so powerful, Steve, because you got to be at a place where you realize that, hey, when you understand that God's writing a story here, when you understand that, you know, he has a plan, when you understand that he is God, the creator, the manager of the universe, that he, you know, heaven is his throne and the earth is his footstool and that he holds every single thing together, the natural response is to say, God, you choose. God, you decide. Since I didn't even choose to be born and you knit me in my mother's womb, you know, the way I walk, talk, think, breathe, look, and act, I think all of that was because of you.
Mm-hmm.
It's become so foolish of us to become so pointed in any direction for anything when we just say, God, you know, the question is, who am I?
Yeah.
You know, who am I? I wrote a poem one time. I was so sick of, you know, it was like a period of my life and just dealing with pride. It's like, who am I? You know, the question is, who lied to you? Who told you that you got to figure it out?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, who lied to you and told you that you were the captain of the ship? And the problem is when we take the reins and the keys away from God, man, we're wrecking everything in sight.
Mm-hmm.
We're wrecking everything in sight.
Yeah. And it's the devil that's going to lie to you, making you believe that you searching out your will, what you want, what you're going to get is worth it. Because it's only a matter of time before you get to that. Because all leads, basically, you know, what God showed me is just like every road in your will, it leads back to the same dead end road.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes back to what we were talking about earlier. And it's just like, you got to get to the end of yourself to be like, you know what, God, your will. And it's like, it's always better.
Searching out God's will, searching out what he wants to do is always better than trying to do your own thing.
Mm.
His plans are the best plans.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
But I want to encourage you, if you're not presently connected to a church family, if there's not a church family that you're connected to that knows you by your name, that loves you, that that prays for you, that you pray for, you know, Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, and he says, every joint supplies. And think about it. You're disjointed. You're disjointed. You're out of joint. You're not into the body, because there's only one body. There's only one church. Jesus is the head of it. And you know, maybe there, you know, you've had a little struggle with wherever you were and you didn't fit and you were disjointed in that. But, you know, find a family to relate to. Find a church family to relate to. And not only show up because you want to be supplied, but show up and become have an abiding relationship with God and be a supplier. You know, be a source, you know, for others as well. And it's like every joint supplies. So I want to encourage you. There's a lot of things. There's a big shifting taking place in the body today. And God's bringing people to himself. And you know, basically people that have been inside something are heading out. And people that have been outside something are headed in. And the truth is you need to go where God is calling you. And that's where you go. You go, you stay, you relate, you know, you function. And realize this is pleasing to God. This is pleasing to God. Ne'er one of us is all the parts or all the pieces. We need each other. I want to thank you for everybody that's joining in on our Facebook. You know, you can get to it by going to VFNTV.com, or you can go to Facebook.com/VFNTV. These are going to VFNTV and click on that. But think about it. It is so cool. Every day, no matter where you are, inside the community with over 1 billion people now, 1/6 of the world's population is in this particular community. Everybody's saying, you got a Facebook. We got a Facebook. Mm-hmm. We got a Facebook, and it's over 5,000. It's just clicking up, and just you're joining us, and we're so excited about that because every day we're in communication. All the highlights that are on your VFNTV app, that's at VFNTV.com, is also on your Facebook, so it follows us everywhere we go. We got a virtual audience. A virtual stadium, if you would, that was being filled all around the world. And now we're in the Facebook community. Thank you. And if you have not yet, you know, go to our Facebook and like us. Go to Facebook.com/VFNTV and click on like. And what does that mean? When you do that, every post that goes out on our Facebook shows up on your Facebook every single day. So you can say, hey, that segment was about me. I want to be encouraged today. Maybe every day you listen to the Wisdom Moment. Maybe there's God's news behind the news and something's coming up that says, you know, I needed to know what God's perspective, the word is on that particular thing. Listen, this is the conversation that we're having together in the virtual audience of our Facebook. Go to VFNTV.com and click on our Facebook, or at VFNFacebook.com/VFNTV. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining me today back from the break is Pat, Chris, and Steve. We're talking about searching out the will of God. It's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but mm-hmm. It's the what?
The glory of a king to search it out.
Search it out. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything's not going to be laid out on a silver platter, right? Mm-hmm. You got to get engaged. You got to seek the Lord. But I tell you what. His plans are better than our plans.
Amen.
I'll take his plans any day over my own. I've tried a couple plans on my own, and those things don't work out as well, I've noticed. They don't work out at all, you know? And when God's in control, it just makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it? Well, you know, we weren't talking about in God's News Behind the News, you know, farming vegetables, eating healthy. We talked about a few weeks ago the chia seed, and we're waiting to get a report on our health expert here, Mr. Pat, on those chia seeds. I don't know if he's participated in those yet, Mr. Bicep. But do you have any report, Lean Mean Machine over there, on chia seeds?
I've tried them.
You've tried them.
I haven't noticed anything significant.
You've tried
the chia pet, or you've tried the chia seeds?
The seeds.
The seeds.
Wow.
But very nutritious, and we know for a fact.
Yeah, I'm sure they're doing something. I just don't see it.
Well, according to the report, there was like 8 times the amount of salmon. Not salmon, but the omegas.
Omega-3, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Oils and.
Which is very good. Yeah. Good for your mind.
Yeah, really.
I probably don't do it enough.
We got to make sure he has more seeds, Steve. Somebody bring those seeds in the studio.
We'll get you some seeds.
Yeah, we need some more for him. But farming, we want to talk about this report from CBN about this really neat concept. A farm on wheels.
What do you wonder about the food you're eating? We have all these scares that people get sick. They get all these diseases. But how about when you don't have enough of it? You might want to know, and that's why so many people have gone back to buying food the old-fashioned way from local folks they can trust. This is a fascinating story that our Laurie Johnson found in what's going on, I believe, in the state capital of Virginia, Richmond. Here's Laurie.
Early in the morning, Mark Lilly drives his farmer's market on wheels from Richmond, Virginia, to the countryside. He stops at a number of family farms to pick up the food he'll sell a little later when he returns to the city. And talk about fresh, these melons were on the vine at sunrise and will be on someone's dinner table at sunset.
Most times it's not sprayed with heavy chemicals, and it's very low intensive farming. It's not industrialized farming, and so there's not a whole lot of pesticides or herbicides. The soil, more than likely, these smaller farms are rotating their crops. The soil has more nutrients in it, and they're throwing organic matter back into the soil.
Local produce is also healthy because it's picked ripe when vitamins are at their peak. On the other hand, produce that's shipped long distances is picked early and often sprayed with chemical ripeners.
So they put all kinds of preservatives and additives on the food. I mean, I've even heard of them like spray painting the food to give it color.
Mark also goes local for dairy, livestock, and poultry. This is also good for the environment because it takes less fuel to transport the food from farm to market. The farthest Mark travels is 150 miles to an Amish farmer in the Shenandoah Valley for pure maple syrup and organic whole grain bread. Then, after he collects the food from rural areas, he heads back to the city, the inner city.
This roving farmer's market makes its stops in so-called food deserts, urban areas where thousands of people without transportation live more than a mile from a grocery store.
Wow.
Here, folks have little choice but to buy whatever unhealthy processed food is available at a convenience store next to the cigarettes and lottery tickets.
Y'all need some fresh vegetables?
Yes.
Got a whole bus full of stuff right here.
I think it's a blessing for certain people, for basically everybody, because everybody don't have a ride to go out. And I think that since it's growing, it's more healthy.
Mark teaches his customers about what he sells and what he doesn't.
I've had a lot of people ask me for bananas and pineapples and oranges and all different types of stuff. It just doesn't even grow in Virginia, much less like in season, you know. So there's a whole education process that people have to adopt.
And he teaches them how to cook foods they don't normally put on their table.
You put it in the oven for about 45 minutes on about 350, 375.
He accepts food stamps and is so passionate about distributing healthy food, he sometimes just gives it away.
Y'all share it out, right?
He's even gotten the attention of city leaders.
I think it's a marvelous idea. It really helps to educate the population, give them an opportunity to have access to really fresh fruits and vegetables that they might not normally be able to get to in some of the better-end city markets.
Visiting retirement homes is also a priority because seniors especially need a healthy diet.
I think it's a beautiful thing because you got some people in here that are diabetics and so forth and so on, and they can come out and get fresh vegetables. And it's organic, which is fantastic.
It's hard for some of us to get to the stores. And if we do get to the store, we got to catch the bus, two buses, and we got to catch two buses back. So I think this is really wonderful.
Betty, yours is $3.
Mark's been doing this for 4 years. He got the idea many years ago, but needed the proper motivation to begin.
I was fortunate. Like, I got fired from my job. That was the best thing that ever happened to me.
Mark had a big dream to take healthy food to people who don't normally get it, but he had a small budget. So he bought this old church bus for $3,600 off Craigslist and made these shelves with scrap wood.
Mm. Within a month, he was on the road and has made enough money to support his family. He hopes more people will hop on the local food bandwagon because he says America's current food system is unsustainable.
Instead of waiting for something to completely fall apart and collapse, you know, we can actually try to change it before that happens.
Mark says he's never worked this hard, but has never been happier knowing his customers don't have to worry about where their food comes from. Lori Johnson, CBN News, Richmond, Virginia.
How awesome is that? On the side of his truck, he says, get on the bus, Gus. Mm. I mean, this is really awesome. Here's a guy who just got fired from his job and said, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and make this thing happen. And to think that, I mean, I've seen the inner city now. You know, I've been to New York. I've been to all these areas. You don't find, there's not a farm in sight.
Yeah, your choices are definitely limited.
Your choices are limited, and the produce that is available, especially in kind of the inner city, is oftentimes very expensive. Mm. It's very expensive. So to think that somebody could take these vegetables from a local farm, put them on a bus, and do like a bus route, I mean, that is a creative concept that maybe more people could just embrace and do. I mean, a simple old school bus, $3,600 and a couple shelves, and he's rolling.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's powerful. And it's one of the things we may have to look at in the future, because as food is changing and the food costs are changing, how many nutrients are we really getting in our diet?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And to think that you could pull this right out the farm.
Well, you think about what I like, the ingenuity of it is what he said. It's just like, you know, we shouldn't have to wait for a system to fall apart. It's just like being able to, just to see his awareness of how things are changing, and then make those, you know, those decisions to go to the people and meet a need. And it's powerful how effective it is just when you see something in your own neighborhood, see something in your own area, and make those choices to help people out.
Absolutely. When you think about it, there's so many seniors, like you said, that weren't able to go to the bus. You know, first of all, buying fruits and vegetables, as you go to any supermarket, it's not the most inexpensive thing in the world. They can be pretty costly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Normally, when you get something at a farmer's market, it's normally at a reduced price. It's organic. When you're talking about seniors that have to take two buses to get there and then carry some of this stuff back. Produce is not light either. It's not fluff. You know what I'm saying? You ever carry a watermelon before, or cantaloupe, and a few cucumbers are heavy. So it's just a really, really great concept, and I think that's something that could really catch on in many of these local communities. And it's like, get on the bus, Gus. I mean, he's stopping by, get your produce. It makes me think about my neighbor who stopped by our home the other day, and out of his garden, he was growing these huge zucchini and a squash and cucumber. They were huge. And just brought us a whole bucket full. Mm-hmm. And it's just really nice to see how many people in the community just loving on each other, starting growing things in their yard, and you can feed. And one of the things my grandfather used to do, he had a tomato garden in the back, and he'd bring tomatoes all the way to the whole neighborhood. I mean, they know him as the tomato man. And people love that. Mm-hmm. Everyone loves fresh produce. And if you're looking for a way to solve a need, if you're looking for a way to minister and love on people, and you have that gifting, see, not everyone has a green thumb. We all can't do everything. But if you have that gifting, maybe this is a concept or something that you can embrace, and you can do your part in feeding and sharing the gospel and loving on someone by exercising that gift. I think it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. As we come to the end of the extra hour, I do want to talk about the VFN top three on the torch. And the first one I want to talk about is Make Today Count. We talked about how each day, really in this segment, should be seized and embraced. And we talk about how some people just drift through the day, live for the moment right now. But I'm telling you that if you're going to accomplish anything for God, you have to take hold of the day and make it count, make every moment, because tomorrow is written in a fool's calendar. The truth is, all you and I and all of us have is today.
Yeah.
So make today count. The second one I want to share is that there is a place you are called to be. Are you there yet? See, there's a place. There's a place for everyone. But you have to find your space in the place. And God's called you. And life has its ups, it has its downs, its ebb and its flow, but we need each other. We have to be connected. There's a community. There's a place that God wants us to be a part of, because that's where God's going to connect to us and pour out His Spirit. And it's where we're going to perform the relationships that God wants us to have, so that when we go through those tragic and difficult and tough times, we're not alone. We're not alone. No man's an island. And it's so sad to see where things like that happen. And you're all alone. You can get connected to a church family today that's going to love on you and walk together in the things of life and the things of God, so that you can move to the next place and the next level in the Lord. There is a place. You just have to find it. And all you have to do is ask Him. He'll direct you and tell you exactly where you need to go. And the last one we want to share is there a remedy for America? I tell you, you want to go to the torch and you really want to, you know, check this segment out, because we discuss how America is at a crossroads, and we explore that there is a remedy. There is a remedy. And throughout the Israel's history, and you look at the church's history, God has sent warnings through His messengers, and He is still sending them today. And God, who's rich in mercy, will continue to send us. He's been sending us remedy upon remedy upon remedy, but we need to turn to Him. I'm telling you that America's at a crossroads. There is a remedy. Listen to this segment. Find out. We can have it turn all around.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.